You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison, and I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the book, Instant Energy, the 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. And our guest is author Dr. Marilyn Joyce, the Vitality Doctor. Hello there. How are you today?
I am great, Andrea. How are you?
Fine. I have to tell you, I'm excited. I was excited when I heard about your work and your book, and I'm still excited because if there's any way we can get more energy or give more energy, how's that?
Right on.
to others, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. If you can just tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became interested in energy.
Oh, that's a great question and a loaded question for that matter. Basically, what transpired was that I went through a journey in the 80s where I was diagnosed with cancer at 35 years of age. And it was, first of all, melanoma, which was early stage, thank goodness, because I learned later it goes deep fast. So I was lucky. And then shortly after that, I was diagnosed as double double pain, which I had experienced for about 2 or more years consistently. And it was always just diagnosed as premenstrual syndrome, I think mainly because of my age. But after the diagnosis of melanoma, they decided to do further testing and discovered that I had, not only did I have uterine cancer, it was advanced to stage 4 uterine cancer. So that was the journey that really brought me to my knees, quite frankly, because I had 2 great aunts who had died from this particular cancer, uterine cancer at stage 4. And so to me, it was a death sentence at that time. Now, I'm here today, almost, 27 years later. So obviously I beat the odds. However, I went through quite a journey before I got to that place. And I think the reason, my first book that I ever wrote for the public, I wrote a lot of books for the government up in Canada, but I wrote my first public book down here, and it was 5 Minutes to Health. And it came out of working with cancer patients at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where I became the director of nutrition years later, after my own journey and surviving and thriving. But what happened was I took what I learned in my own journey and applied that to the work with my patients. And what I discovered was, like I had gone through, they were going through this lack of energy and this inability to do healthy things for themselves, thinking that it was going to take a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy. And what they needed was to create energy, not use energy if possible. So, and that was where I was at when I was going through my own journey with cancer, was I had no energy. As a matter of fact, at the lowest point in 1989, I was 88 pounds in a wheelchair, given less than 2 weeks to live, and I couldn't eat or drink anything. All I could do was suck on ice chips. So at the bottom of the barrel with no energy, I was depending on other people, and they were fatigued just trying to help me because, my family and friends had their own responsibilities, just like the caregiver of someone you love. Here you are, you're either a homemaker or you're out working full time and you're coming home and taking care of the kids. And now you've got your partner to take care of. And your energy levels are gone. And you think that it's, again, like it's going to take a lot of time and energy to create health for yourself. what I've been trying to teach people is that 5 minutes, five times a day, instant energy guaranteed is what we tell people. And we really see that happen. And when I do live audience seminars, we will take an audience who are completely fatigued, and in just a couple of exercises, less than 5 minutes each, they're feeling energized. And so it really, what I learned that from my own journey, of course, because I needed energy. And what we found was just doing simple things like learning to breathe properly, because, you know, oxygen is a life giver, and most people don't know how to breathe properly to begin with. So it's teaching them how to, you know, really breathe deeply, exhale fully first, and then breathe in a lot more air. And as you're breathing in, imagining that you're taking in really clean, pure air that's oxygenated. And as you breathe out, you're breathing out the impurities, the poisons, the toxins. So it's teaching people through, you know, the breathing and the visualization how to do that kind of thing. And those were things I learned in my own journey. They weren't commonplace back in the 80s compared to now. You know, they were the alternative care, for example, was something that people talked about that they didn't really understand. Whereas today, because of, you know, the internet and social media and so on, it's become very well known to address that. When I was going through the journey with cancer, the initial treatment that I went through, because I was in the medical world, was to go through chemotherapy. And after three rounds of chemotherapy, I knew in my heart and soul that I would probably not survive six rounds of chemo. So I quit. And what does every good patient do when they quit one form of therapy? They look for whatever else is out there. And so I started looking, you know, researching and traveling around the world, really. I mean, all my retirement money was spent getting well. You know, there's a saying, you spend the first half of your life making money and trying to get to the top of the corporate ladder, so you've got this great income, and you spend the second half of your life paying out expensive health care to overcome the illness that you got from the stress of the first half of your life. And on some levels, that's what it felt like for me when I was going through that journey. And I've seen that with my patients over the years. You know, it really is, it's a long journey.
You know what I wanted to ask? What did the doctor say to you when you told them or him or her that you wanted to stop chemotherapy? And at that point, did you have a plan of what you wanted to do, or did you just stop and say, I'm looking for something else?
Initially, that's a great, great question, Andrea, because not many people have asked it. But quite frankly, I was at the point where it was just a matter of wanting quality of life while I was here. So I don't think I really thought much about what I was going to do next initially. I think it was just, I can't do this. If I'm going to die, I'd rather die, you know, with some kind of quality of life rather than throwing my guts up in the bathroom every day. You know, so it was like, that was kind of the beginning of it, was I just don't want to go out this way. And, you know, one of the things we constantly talk about when I'm working with patients is most people do not die from the cancer. They die from malnutrition because they were not able to eat anything and hold it down. And so that was kind of where I was coming from at the time. But what happened was, you know, you've got family and friends who don't want you to leave. And so it was like, well, you got to do something. You got to do something. So, you know, going back to the doctor, though, because that was the question you asked me, they told me it was just a matter of weeks, you know. There's no, you know, if you quit the chemotherapy, any chance you had is done, is gone. And so I was not given any hope at all, to be quite honest, by the doctors that I was seeing. And at that time, I really, you know, I had lost my two great aunts to this form of cancer. So there was a part of me that I think on a deep level thought, well, maybe they're right. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to go without dying from something that's forcing me to hate even being alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. Now, you know, and I probably paid some sort of price, but I think the long-term aspect of it was that, you know, when I work with people, unfortunately, Andrea, they come to me when they're really advanced stage cancer. They've gone through endless treatments of you know, radiation, chemotherapy, cut, burn, and poison. They've gone through the cut, burn, and poison process many times, often more often than not. And so what happens is by the time they get to me, their immune system is completely shot. And we're trying to rebuild the immune system at the same time as knock that cancer out of their body. And that's the challenging part. If we could get people right at the beginning, even if they do go through low-dose chemotherapy, you know, because there are institutions now that are doing low-dose and they're doing holistic approaches to overcoming cancer. And cancer is a whole person illness. I mean, it's basically unresolved emotional issues that manifest as tumor cells, physically as tumor cells, and then tumors. I mean, cancer cells, and then tumors. So when we look at it from that perspective, we want to address the whole person, and it's hard to do that when someone comes to you and you're the last ditch resort and they're looking for the magic bullet. You know, give me the magic bullet, you know, whether it's nutrition, what can I do today to save my life and build up my immune system? Now, at the same time, we're trying to knock the cancer out of their body. So it's so much easier when someone comes in at the very beginning and we start a whole person approach. And if they choose to go the low-dose chemotherapy or whatever new treatments are out there now with radiation, then at least they're giving their body a fighting chance right at the beginning. But most people don't do that. They go in for the chemotherapy. They're told that nutrition doesn't make any difference, so they don't do anything nutritionally, and they don't do anything lifestyle-wise because they're told it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Well, it does. The people that I've worked with over the years, I've watched people who have had, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, but they started with lifestyle and diet changes immediately at the same time or before. It's even better if we can get them before they go through treatment to cut certain poison. Yeah. And there are many patients I've worked with who haven't even gone. They might have gone the cut part, you know, because if you can get the tumor out, great. Now let's get going with the rest. That's great, too. You know, and avoiding the other treatments if possible. But, you know, people have to deal with their own beliefs about everything. So I found that if you come to me and you believe that the chemotherapy is going to save your life, there's a chance that that is what's going to happen as long as you make the other changes as well.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Tell me, did you go back to the doctor years later to say I'm still alive?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I did not. You know, it was like I literally got in my vehicle when I thought I might, you know, I was cancer-free at the moment in 1989. I didn't know how long I was going to be cancer-free because I'd been cancer-free in between all, you know, five bouts of cancer. And so I got in my car and decided if I'm going to die, I'm going to go somewhere sunny and warm, and that's where I'm going to stay until I'm gone. And, well, I ended up in, first of all, New Mexico in a snowstorm and thought, well, this isn't working, even though I love New Mexico, and ended up in California, which was not where I expected to stay, but I've been here all this time. So, you know, but that's what I did. But years went by, and after, you know, I worked as the director of nutrition for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I got asked to speak around the world. And one of the places was Toronto, Canada, where I was from. And one of the events, they actually had a snowstorm, I think, that day, but they had to move the event from a smaller room into a bigger room because they had over 500 people show up. And in the front row, there was a vaguely familiar face, and I couldn't place who it was specifically, but this man and his son were sitting in the front row. And at the end of my presentation, he was one of the first to come up and say, "Do you know who I am?" And I didn't, because when I was going to him, he was actually overweight and out of shape. and so were his kids, but his son was actually very fit, and he was looking very fit. And basically what happened was he had followed me online. I was one of the first people online with a website, you know, way back when, in 1991 or whatever it was, 1990, I don't remember, but, you know, I had a website right away. And he had been following me and had actually gotten my book 5 Minutes to Health when it came out, and they had started practicing what was in the book. And so he just came up and asked me to sign the book he bought already. So it was very interesting to run into him. And he was the only one who had really said, you know, there are people who beat cancer, but this kind of cancer, not very often. So he was in awe of the fact that not only had I beat it, but I had taken it and made it a positive experience, you know, I'd run with it, so to speak. You know, I started sharing. However, it wasn't an easy share for me the first time. I was threatened at the work that I, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, by my employer, that if I didn't go in and talk to the patient who had the same cancer I had dealt with and share my story, that I was going to lose my job. Now, I found out later that that wasn't the case, but I didn't want to lose the job. I loved working there. It was one of my favorite jobs that I'd ever had. And so, you know, I went in and spoke to this patient about it. And when I saw the revelation for her and her husband, when I shared the story, now it took a lot because she was very resistant, like I had been, to hearing anything from anyone else about it. But when I shared it with her, we ended up in each other's arms crying. And she's still alive today. And that was 1994.
Wow.
So, you know, but the lesson there, Andrea, was that if you can overcome something, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, my journey with cancer, and I've actually worked with a lot of cancer patients and other people with other illnesses as well. But whatever you've overcome, if you can take that and share it in a meaningful way and take your experience and make it positive, one, I think you'll resist becoming ill again, at least anytime soon, and you're going to help a lot of people prevent or overcome the same challenges.
Yeah, and what an amazing story you have. And we haven't even gotten into the book yet, but I have to ask you, how much of it is your beating the odds? Because you have truly beaten the odds, as they would say. How much of it is attributed to changing, you know, your whole lifestyle and diet? And how much would you attribute to the will to live?
Oh, excellent question. Oh, my goodness. That's such a good question, because one of the questions I will often ask someone privately when the family's not with them is, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I find a nice way of saying it. And then 9 times out of 10, they'll say, I want to live. Or there have been times when someone has said to me, you know, I don't want to be here. I want to leave. I have no big why for staying. These are usually older people, but sometimes a little younger have said it. But, you know, it's like, I just don't want to be here. I'm done. I have no real reason to be here. And unless I can help someone figure out a really good, strong, what we term in the business world as why, W-H-Y, they may not stay. And so there is a will to live. Now, I think that all the other things are important, and wrapped into that whole, you know, the whole person aspect of wellness is that whole idea of determining what your will is to be here. And if you have a strong will to be here, and we can figure out a really good reason why you would be here, like your grandchildren, seeing them grow up and get married, or your own children grow up and get married and, you know, you become a grandparent, whatever it may be. And it may simply be that you haven't fulfilled your destiny on the planet yet. For some people, it really is leaving a legacy worth remembering. And if that's the case, then we explore what that can look like. And a story that I've shared a few times with, you know, in seminars, actually a lot in seminars, and a few times on radio interviews, is about a man that I worked with years ago, Andrea, who was very fit. Well, when he came to me, he was, you know, he was looking for the magic bullet. And that was when I was at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And he came and we worked on his diet and his lifestyle. And he had a fairly good diet, but it needed some improvement. He was very active and physically fit. He did go to the gym regularly. I taught him about breathing. He had never really learned about how to breathe deeply. So although he was working out, he wasn't really doing the proper breathing. So we did all that. And he went into remission. And we did one follow-up, I think. And then I never heard from him for a while. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, his wife called me and said, we need to see you. Can you come to us? And I did do that. I was the doctor on call who would go to the patient if necessary. And so I went to his home. And I was stunned by what I saw because he had ballooned out, you know, the toxemia and the ascites was just throughout his entire body, a little head on a big body. And the cancer had just come back with a vengeance. And when we talked just before he passed away, he said, you know, Marilyn, I did everything that you said except one thing. He had hated his job and his business so much. It was an accounting firm that he had created, and it brought in tons of money. It was like a, you know, multi-million-dollar company. And he wanted to leave his kids something. And so rather than sell the business and spend the time with his kids, which he could have easily afforded to do, and he realized that, you know, instead, the legacy he left was the business was more important. And he died leaving his kids a business, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, the business was there. But he was an unhappy man and died of unhappiness because every day was a grind for him. And so what I say to people is you've got to find something you love to do. I was the same as him. I hated what I was doing. I was an administrative dietitian. I loved working with people. But here I was cooped up in an office putting together policy and procedure manuals, which I hated doing, but I made great money and I wanted my kids to have every opportunity. Well, you know, they opted not to go on anyway in school. One became an artist and the other a horse trainer. And so, you know, all of the efforts that I made, I almost lost my life, and whatever money I saved for the future for them went into overcoming cancer. And we're all much happier as a result of that, you know. So cancer is a teacher, you know. That was one of the lessons I learned during my own journey, and it's what I teach my patients. You know, when Dr. Bernie Siegel said to me, do you see cancer as your friend? And I said, absolutely not. And he said, do you see it as your enemy? And I said, yes, I do. And his response was, if you see something like cancer as your friend or your enemy, you're keeping it around because you're either keeping it around because it's a friend, you want your friend around, or you're keeping it around because it's an enemy and you're trying to get revenge on that enemy or whatever, you know, you're trying to, you know, get rid of the enemy. So you're spending all your time on one or the other. But if you see cancer as your teacher, then you can look at what the lesson is. And it's like going to kindergarten or first grade, or, you know, moving on to the, you know, high school and then college. You graduate once you learn the lessons, right? Right. Same thing with cancer. Once you learn the lessons, you can move on. And for me, that was very significant. I was unhappy. I had no fun in my life and no joy. And so it was like, what was I going to do to change that? And it's simple things. I mean, you don't need to have a lot of anything to have joy in your life. You can have joy just by seeing a baby smile if you decide that you're going to find joy in that. You know, or you can smile at someone who's not looking very happy and bring joy to them. And in return, you experience joy because you helped to bring a smile onto that person's face.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. So can joy kill cancer?
I believe it can. I mean, and we talk about laughter. I mean, I used to do my own radio show, and on that show, I did a whole section on laughter, and it was one of the most popular shows because basically what we talked about was laughing yoga and laughter in general and laughter as medicine, and that when you have laughter, you have joy, you know, generally speaking. And so it's really laughing your way through things. And so, for example, when I work with patients, I tell them, don't watch the news, watch a funny movie. You know, the news is always going to be there, and most of the time it's bad news. If you can find a good news channel, watch that, you know. But in the meantime, start watching funny movies, you know. Comedies are one of the best things you can do because it lightens you up and you create a flow of energy. When you're stressed out, stress management is one of my primary subjects. And so when you're stressed out, what happens is you're blocking the flow of energy through your body. You're constricting the flow. But if you can laugh, what does that do? When you laugh heartily, you're releasing the stress, and that allows energy to flow. So when you have energy flowing through your body, you're also allowing, you know, the nutrients to be carried to the different parts of your body from the food you eat to the different parts of your body where it's needed. You're taking the oxygen to the different parts of your body where it's required for all the different, you know, metabolic functions that are going on in your body. So really, laughter is releasing the stress and the constrictions that you have when you're stressed out, so that everything works in your body better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I'm telling you, we haven't even started my questions yet. But that's okay, because it's all organic. But you say that our craving for simplicity has cost us our energy. Now, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
If you could explain that.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it is, we think about, you know, we've got our cell phones, we've got our computers, we've got our electronic gadgets to clean the house and, you know, like the robot that goes around and vacuums for you. there's all these different things you've got, but and of course, you know, the TV with 1,000 channels. The problem is that you, one, don't know how to work those darn remotes, and two, we're on 24/7. So where we used to have time out, I mean, people go to bed with their cell phone. I mean, I'm guilty every once in a while of doing that, you know, and so I'm not proud to say that. I have to consciously put it away.
But you know,
it's like,
what if you're up late on the phone laughing with someone on your cell phone?
Right.
Then it's okay,
okay,
right?
That's okay. That's good. Laughter is great medicine, of course. But if you're checking the news or the weather and you've got a big day ahead of you and it's going to rain and you're going to be outside, you're going to be stressed out the whole night instead of getting a good night's sleep.
No war on terror stories, right?
Right. Exactly.
Tune that out.
That's right. Tune that out and get some sleep and put that computer aside, and the people can wait while you have your rest. But you know, we are 24/7 on. I mean, it's like people are, especially the young people, but even my friends who are my age are constantly, you know, oh, I got to get the email answered. And I think back to when I traveled around the world in 1970 through 76. I hitchhiked around the world as a hippie. I would never have said that back then, but that's basically what I did. And people would get a letter from me a month or two after or maybe they'd get the letter a month after I sent it, because it had to go through all the processes to get from wherever I was in the remote wilderness somewhere to a post office, right? And they would get that letter, and it might be another month or two before I heard back from them. In other words, we waited sometimes 2 to 3 months to, you know, go back and forth with a letter. Today, if you don't get an email back within seconds, it's like, what is taking so long?
Right.
And then we get tensed up about it and stressed out about it. You know, so what that has created a real problem, because that saps our energy fast. And, you know, because you're stressed about this email that hasn't come through, or we don't even go for faxes anymore. It's like everything is done through email and phone. So now we've got these text messages, and if anybody's like me, they've got like 700 emails and another 700 text messages that they've got to respond to. And that can be unwieldy, you know, it really can become a very big challenge.
And so, you know what, that's interesting. What I'm also hearing is that people become more impatient as well.
Oh, yes.
Because they're so used to the instant, and they want it this second.
Yep.
Wait, I want it now. And
I want it now.
There's no,
no
waiting.
Patience.
And there's
right.
And there's no patience, and I wonder just overall what it does not only to us as individuals but to society as a whole.
Well, what we're finding is that, you know, our population in North America is beginning to get illnesses in their 20s and 30s that we never got until we were in our 70s or 80s or maybe 60s, you know. And there are cultures that live a lot longer than us who have a lot less than us, and they don't do email and internet now. Granted, that's becoming less and less of the world today. It seems that even if people don't have any money, they somehow have a cell phone with, you know, text messaging. But the point is that there are still some remote areas in the world where people live very, very long, healthy lives, mainly because they don't have the distractions that we have, and they're not stressed out, constantly feeling like they're under the gun to get things done. You know, it's like that constant feeling of not enough time in the day. I'm trying to empty a couple of storage units and quickly, and I'm finding, you know, the stress sometimes. If I don't check myself, I can feel a lot of stress. I can get overwhelmed. And so fortunately, I have all the tools, and I do use them, from Instant Energy, that I will step back and go, okay, let's evaluate the situation. You know, if I don't get it done by then, what's the outcome? If I do get it done, what's the outcome? You know, and evaluating, so that then you move forward from a place of not worrying, which is one of the chapters, of course, in the book, right? Worry is wasted energy.
Right.
Because it's worrying about something in the future that may never happen. And that's what we do. We manufacture mountains out of our molehills, and then we get worried about them. So instead of that, it's to take action. And first of all, I think you got to scope it out. You know, you got to take some time and go pros, cons, or whatever. And if writing it down works for you, great. You know, take a piece of paper and or on your computer, you know, a Word document, and divide it in two. And on one side, put your pros, on the other, put your cons about any situation. And then what action can you take? And when you start to move towards an action, you take one, take your mind off the problem. Right? You stop the worry because you're actually doing something. You know, go dancing if that's the best way for you. You know, go do something physical, like go for a run, a walk, or a hike, or dancing. That in itself will help. But just taking action on the particular item that you have in front of you is also a great thing to do. You know, and make it a meditation. You know, that's one of the things I talk a lot about now. Is like as I've started to, you know, clean up the storage units, nothing was worse to me than lugging stuff out for people to look at and lugging it back in again. Oh, they didn't buy it, so now I got to put all this heavy stuff back in. So there I am, you know, 66-year-old woman dragging this stuff back and forth in and out of storage units. So one day I had this epiphany, make it a meditation. And it was amazing. I got a lot more done in a lot more efficient manner, and I felt relaxed and relieved, and I didn't have the injuries that you get when you're stressed out. You know, you how you wrench your back or whatever. None of those things were happening because I was taking the time to just scope it out and then take the action and see it as a meditation in motion. And, you know, I learned that in India back in 1971, meditation in motion, because that's basically what yoga is. It's a meditation in motion. And everything in life, think about the Karate Kid, the movie, the Karate Kid, you know, the kid doing the, whatever the, that, you know, motion was. And he, until he got that was a meditation, he had to keep doing it. Once he realized that this was a meditation, painting the fence or whatever it was, then it was easy. And when it's easy, it flows. And when it flows, it goes. And the stress is gone and you become healthier, happier, more at peace, more centered, more balanced. And illness can't get a grip as easily when you're balanced and centered because everything's flowing in your body and around your body.
Right. Yeah, that's right? Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. So now there are many who would say that being healthy, eating healthy, is time consuming, expensive, and stressful, and that it's much easier to pick up something quick and just go, meaning, you know, going to the fast food restaurant down the street. But you have a different view of what is quick and easy and healthy.
Yeah, I do.
You have some healthy get up and go ideas.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I think about fast food, I think, what is faster than grabbing an apple and washing it and eating it?
Right.
I mean, that's really fast, right? And it's healthy, but it's a fast food. You can't get much simpler than that, you know? And if you're lucky and you have a tree growing in your backyard, well, you just go pick the apple off the tree. But otherwise, you go to the store and you buy some apples. But, you know, when people talk to me about, you know, going to the, I you know, I have one client who used to say to me, We laughed about it. It was a joke. But, you know, she said, oh, you know, I couldn't help myself. The car just turned into McDonald's. I didn't have any control. It was like the car just knew its way to McDonald's and I got my McDonald's burger. And we, you know, we laughed and I said, how long did you actually wait in line to get your burger? And she said, well, it was about 20 minutes. You know, because rush hour, everybody's going to the same place. People think it's fast. No, you're sitting in a lineup forever. And then by the time you get home with your burger, unless you eat it in the car, which is a very unhealthy thing to do, that you're stressed out, you're not going to digest it, even though it's not really food worthy of digestion. But that's another story for another day. But the point is that you're going to be stressed out. You're not going to eat it. So by the time you get home with that, your fries are cold and they're horrible. Your burger's cold and you're eating a cold burger and fries. Now, on the other hand, you could go to the grocery store and pick up some veggies, some hummus, some chicken breast. You could grill that in 10 minutes or maybe 15, about the time you were sitting in the lineup. And then you've got a hot meal with some veggies and hummus, or maybe get a bag of greens. I mean, you can buy this stuff already washed and ready to throw in a bowl. And then you cut up a couple of vegetables on top of it, maybe grate some carrots on it, you know, whatever, a cut up a tomato. You've got a salad. Make some salad dressing. I've got a whole chapter on salad dressings and instant energy. It is one of the most popular chapters because people figure, oh, I can make this. It's all natural. Yes, you have to shake it up. It's not emulsified like your salad dressing would be that you buy in the store. But it's got no additives, no emulsifiers, no preservatives. It's just straight, natural, whole food. You make up a batch for the week. You got it there. It's all ready to go. It takes no time if you've got a bullet or a blender that like a Vitamix machine, or I'm trying to think what the one is that just came out. There's a new blender that's a lot cheaper than the Vitamix or the Blendtec, and it
Are
does the same
about
thing.
Nutribullet?
Nutribullet is a good one, but this, I can't, you know, it's terrible. I cannot believe
there's
I can't remember
There's so many
remember.
Of them now that come.
Yeah, I know.
But whatever I'm you're road, using, just, you can actually just throw them in and then instant,
oh, yeah.
right?
Instant, yeah. I mean, if you've got something that's 2 horsepower, that it, you can literally throw in a whole lemon. I would make it organic if you're going to do that because the seeds and so on do hold the preservatives and pesticides, et cetera, that they use outside. But if you get an organic lemon, you can literally cut that in quarters and throw it in, take a chunk of onion, throw it in, take a couple of whole garlic cloves, throw them in. And you know, I will oftentimes use some fresh ginger. You just take a chunk of ginger, throw it in. You can literally make a salad dressing in seconds, and then you've got it for the week.
Right.
You know, it's just ready to go. And so it's about it's being creative in how you set up your kitchen, of course. And that's why we, you know, have a whole chapter on that. But the whole point is once you've got your kitchen set up properly, and I mean, I'm on the road a lot. So I actually have like a box with the things I need for on the road.
Yeah.
You know,
so
right
tell us about that. And with you traveling, because a lot of people say that it's difficult to eat healthy when you're traveling. So what do you do for those who do travel a lot?
Well, if you're traveling in your car, that's the easiest way, of course. You know, or if you're I would say that the car is the easiest way, and you're stopping in hotels. This is very easy. One, you ask the hotel or the motel for a refrigerator. So that's one thing you can do. I carry a cooler in the car. And in the cooler, I'll put, you know, the things that are perishable, you know, whether it's almond milk or coconut milk, whatever. And, you know, because once they're open, you need to chill them. And I have, you know, the cold bags that you just, when you have the refrigerator with a little freezer on the top in a hotel or motel, you just refreeze them at night. Or if worse comes to worse, you buy a bag of ice and put it in. But you have your perishables in there, and then you have your other goods, like, if you have some canned goods, like some canned tuna or some bags of muesli, that type of thing, you have those in another, you know, box. So there's the box where you have that, and then you have your cooler, and then there's the box where you have your appliances. So I have like a little hand lemon squeezer, you know, lemon orange squeezer. So, you know, it's like one of those I forget what it's called, but, you know, it's for citrus squeezing. And it's not electric. I mean, it's just one of those hand jobs. If you can get a small electric one and carry that with you, if you prefer that. But sometimes I'm out in the wilderness where I may not have electricity. So, you know, I try to gauge around that. But for the places where I do, I have a really high-powered Osterizer blender. I have, you know, the like I said, the lemon squeezer. I have a little hot pot that I can heat up stuff in. And then I have one hot plate. So I can plug that hot plate in when I'm at a place where I have electricity. And I can actually, and a couple of, you know, pans, a pot and a frying pan. I don't fry food, but I use it for heating things. So I have those all in a box. It's just one simple box with that those items in it. You know, and most places have a coffee pot. I carry my own organic coffee. If I'm going on a road trip, I'll grind the coffee in advance. At home, I just grind it as I'm going to use it. But I'll grind it as I go, you know, in advance to carry with me. But I always like to make sure that I carry whatever I might not be able to find out and about on the road easily. I try to carry that with me so that I always, and, you know, I do use health bars, you know, the organic bars are one of my favorite bars to use, or raw organic is called. So I have those, a store of those with me. And then nuts, you know, dried fruit, fresh fruit, and then the veggies I'll grab as I'm traveling most often, you know, carrots and things like that you can throw into that cooler. So you have those available as well for a trip, you know, as you maybe stop at a road stop or a rest stop or whatever they're called. You know, you have that kind of thing always available. And I get the individual portions of the almond milk or the coconut milk so that I have those available as well. You know, so it's really, it's so simple once you have it all in place just to have those things ready to go. You know, and I have those things that it says, for on the road, and then the things are for at home.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's really just thinking ahead. I mean, I have a whole booklet that I put together for my patients on traveling. You know, how to travel healthfully. I mean, when you're on an airplane, instead of buying all that garbage at the airport, carry things like nuts and raisins and. Obviously you can't take liquid things through. You have to get that on the other side, but you can carry bars and nuts and raisins and even boiled eggs, although people don't like to be around you if you have boiled eggs for sitting for too long. but you can get the pop, you know, tuna and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's just being prepared, you know, and not then resorting to what they have to offer, which is usually not much more than pretzels and salted peanuts, you know?
Right. Now, you say that instant energy equals instant gratification. So if you could please break down the meaning of E-N-E-R-G-Y for our audience.
Absolutely.
Energy. Would you do that?
I would love to. And I'll preface it with a little story because when I had my book done, it was Thanksgiving Day, and I, you know, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, the book was done, and I did not have the acronym for, you know, energy. I did not have energy as an acronym at that point. I went to bed prepared to sleep until I got up because I had been getting up and working on this book for so long. I was just relaxed and ready to have it off to the publisher, and I was going to sleep late, have a bath, you know, eat, watch movies all day in bed, and I made my food ahead. You know, I had chopped up vegetables, homemade hummus. I had other things, you know, lots of goodies prepared for that day. And went to bed at 4 a.m., book gone to the publisher. At 6 a.m., I woke up. Energy is an acronym. And I fought it, Andrea. I fought it. I was not getting out of bed. I was staying in bed. And I couldn't get back to sleep. I was energy as an acronym. So I got out of bed, went to the computer, and in 5 minutes I had E-N-E-R-G-Y. Now I have five keys, so there's six letters. And so I had the acronym done in 5 minutes. And then I sent it off to the publisher, and they said, the first message back to me was, when I said, stop the presses, I have something here. No, we're not. This has taken long enough. And then the next message got back to me and said, we stopped the presses. Now you have to rewrite the whole front of the book. So the book took a little longer. But what happened was, it was, you know, I love acronyms. I don't know about everybody, but I know that when I hear an acronym, I'll remember, like, you know, fear, false expectations appearing real. It's a reminder not to go into fear. So with energy, it was like, okay, how does it work out? Well, what's the first thing I teach my patients? How to breathe. So it's exhale fully first in order to fully inhale. And that's what I tell my patients. The people who worked for me would come into work and go, I know, exhale fully first so I can inhale fully. You know, it would be like they come in stressed out, right? And then I would calm them down because I wanted them to work efficiently, and you can't work efficiently if you're stressed out. So exhale fully first so you can inhale fully. The next one is nutrition excellence daily, the N. Nutrition excellence daily, not weekly, not Monday morning, and not January 1st, but every day. And then the next D is exercise for cellular rejuvenation. Now, not all exercise rejuvenates your cells. It needs to be a rhythmic movement, whether it's walking rhythmically and quickly, or bouncing on an exercise ball, or bouncing on a trampoline, or swimming. There's a rhythm to those particular movements, and those are what rejuvenate your cells at the cellular level. You can do the other stuff, but those things are the, you got to incorporate those as well. And just 5 minutes on a rebounder is equivalent to 35 to 40 minutes of fast walking or slow jogging. So I'd rather bounce on a rebounder for 5 minutes than the other.
You know, so that's interesting. I like bouncing on a ball, just sitting.
Yeah.
So what is it about that?
What it's doing, there's a couple of things, Andrea. One of the things that's happening is that it's a rhythmic movement, so it's really rejuvenating your cells at a cellular level. But secondly, you're also detoxing your lymphatic system. The rhythmic movement is, and NASA has proven this with the rebounder, but it's the same thing with the exercise ball. For our cardiovascular system, the pump is the heart. For our respiratory system, the pump is our lungs. But for our lymphatic system, we're the pump. So we've got to get this pump moving in a rhythmic way, because the lymphatic system is fluid. It's actually the sewer system of our body. But it's fluid, and fluids are rhythmic. So you've got to get them rhythmically moving so that this is easily detoxing through your skin, through your urine, through your feces, through just basically detoxing all of that garbage that's going out of your body. And through that rhythmic movement, which is also relaxing you, it's allowing the flow to be much more complete and more efficient. So that's the other aspect of it. So when you're detoxing your body and you're also relaxing your body through that movement, that rhythmic movement, you're actually relaxing your entire body and feeling you're feeling relaxed, not stressed out. So you feel good. And then, of course, the endorphins are released, and that makes you feel even better. So, you know, it's a whole set of systems that are put into place that relax you and help you to feel calm and peaceful versus stressed out and angst.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the E part. And then we come to the R, which is rest, relax, rejuvenate. And boy, oh boy, Andrea, I will tell you, in our culture, trying to get people to take 5 minutes out to just be still and relax, it's like pulling teeth. It's like, I don't have time. I'm like, okay, you just got stressed out and wasted 5 minutes with stress. What would happen if you took that same 5 minutes and just sat and were still and breathed deeply? You'd get a whole lot more done in the next 5 minutes than you're getting done now, because you're still stressed out. And you're focused on your stress and not on feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like really teaching people, all I'm asking is for you to take 5 minutes. Now, when you go to bed at night, take more. But during the day, take 5 minutes when you're feeling really stressed. It's amazing. It can change your entire day if you just stop everything for 5 minutes. Lie down if you can, or if not, if you're in an office, close the door and put your feet up, and just, you know, if you've got some relaxing music you can put on your iPhone and listen to while you're doing it, then breathe deeply. breathe into a count of four, hold to a count of four, and release to a count of four. And do it for 5 minutes. And if you've got a timer, set the timer for 5 minutes. When now, it goes off, ding, you're done.
Now, relaxation, now, there are many different ways to relax, right?
Different
people do it. So is it just doing what it is that relaxes you?
Yes.
Or should you just lie down on your back and just breathe? I mean, does it...
Now, if you can do that, Andrea, that would be ideal because then you're getting the breathing component in as well.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of, I don't like the term killing two birds with one stone, but you're kind of doing that. You know, you're doing two things at one time, and I'm not a multitasker, but when you're breathing deeply and taking the time to just be still, that's kind of like doing the E part of energy and the R part of energy all rolled into one. But you could do a slow walk around the block and just, you know, experience nature around you. You could watch a funny movie if that's, you know, that's taking time out and watching some, like, not funny movie, but a funny clip, you know, maybe an old Lucille Ball clip or something, you know. But go on YouTube, look for a 5-minute clip that's funny and just watch that. You know, if that's your way to relax, that's great. Writing a gratitude journal is also a really easy way to take time out and relax, because as you're writing it, you're taking the time to be still and just write the things that you feel good about, and what you focus on expands, which is actually the next part of the energy, is the G part, which is gratitude attitude. And, you know, just doing 3 or 4 or 5 gratitudes on a piece of paper or in a book. I have a gratitude journal that I've been, you know, I have about 20 now, but since I first started doing it back in 1989. But the point is to do 5 gratitudes a day. And do them. If you have a time during the day when you're really stressed out, things are, you know, it's one of those days when the phone won't stop ringing, and you've had a client who maybe wasn't as happy as you'd like them to be. So you're feeling a lot of angst and stress. Stop everything. Take 5 and write in the gratitude journal. Write 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 gratitudes, things that you're grateful for. And amazingly, what you focus on expands. So you'll focus, when you're focusing on things that you're grateful for, you get more of that in your life. So it's really about, you know, the aspect of taking the time to be still, to do what you want to do. Because these things all do kind of mesh together after a while. You know, it's like, I'll take 5 minutes out to write a gratitude journal. And while I'm doing that, I'm breathing. You know, I'm breathing in, I'm feeling the breath in my body and relaxing as I'm writing the gratitudes. With each gratitude, I'll have an in and out breath, you know, in, hold, and out breath. So it's really, you know, there's, as you progress forward, you can be doing all of these things without even knowing you're doing them after a while. They become such a part of who you are.
Yeah.
People think it's hard. Everything, when you start something new, people say to me, oh, it's so hard. Yeah, when you start anything new, look at a baby. My goodness, how many times do they crawl on the floor and try to stand up before they actually make it? You know, it's the same. We forget.
That's
how quickly
funny.
We forget.
You know, there are those who say, well, what do they know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
They don't even know that it's hard. They just know they're doing something. They're just taking
exactly.
that next step. They're going
exactly.
with the flow, right?
They're going with the flow, and we need to pay attention to what those babies are doing and start getting back to that way of thinking.
Right, and they're mastering too, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Mastering through by going with the flow. Watch the babies.
That's it. Exactly. And that's the attitude we have to have.
It's almost we know too much, right? You almost have
that's
to
it.
Go get to the point where you don't know as much. It's I guess we become jaded, you know?
Yes. Exactly. We let the past determine our future instead of looking at every day as a new day and with a new beginning.
Right.
And that's really, oh my goodness, that's such a key thing for us to grasp, is that every day is a new day. If you wake up on this side of the earth, it's a new day.
Right.
There are a lot of people who don't wake up on this side of the earth, you know, I mean, or this. Yeah. So, you know, it's a, and they don't wake up. is what I'm trying to say. So in view of that, every day that you wake up is a new day. So embrace it as a new day and don't get caught up in the minutia. Yes, we have responsibilities and we've got to take care of those. Make sure you have systems for doing that. But once those systems are in place, just what is today? What do I want to get done today? What do I want to experience today? Who do I want to experience today? You know, and get rid of the toxic people in your life as much as possible as well.
Yeah. So, okay. So the G is for gratitude.
Yeah, the G is for gratitude. And then we come to the Y. And people always say, there's the sixth letter. What's that? Well, that's you, your five keys. Because in it, when I work with people, Andrea, everyone's different. So what five things that someone will pick to do, someone else will pick five different things. And that's why I have hundreds of strategies in Instant Energy, because no two people are going to want to do exactly the same thing usually. And then what happens is after a while, you get bored with doing specific routine. So we change it up. Okay, what are you ready for? What are you willing to do now that you maybe didn't want to do a month ago? You know, so you have the opportunity to develop your own program, your five keys. And so within those, you know, the five keys are there, the energy acronym. But what within each of those five keys, there are lots of different strategies that you can do. So we pick different strategies and that becomes your program.
Yeah. That's beautiful. It's so important to just tap into you, right? And knowing what you need to do to make you happy.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love your work. Your work is just amazing.
Thank you.
You know, what you have done for yourself. And it's interesting. It's there's that saying, and I don't know the exact quote, but it talks about the importance of know thyself and how important it is to have a greater understanding of yourself, because doing so, it helps you to understand the whole. And
Yes. You
were able to help yourself first. You were able to heal yourself. And then what you learned from working on you, now you can in turn help others as well. I mean, you're coming from a much stronger place when you focus on the you and, like you say, and your needs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like when we think about it, Andrea, what do they say when you get on an airplane? If for any reason you have to have the oxygen mask, then make sure you put yours on first and then help those around you. And you're of absolutely no use to anybody else if you're not cared for. You know, a big lesson I learned from my daughter was when I said to her, you know, if you had anything that you would like to have seen change in your past with me, what would it be? You know, we talked about what they loved first. Always got to have that, the kudos first, right? And then then we talked about, you know, what would they have liked to have seen change? And my daughter said, I would have, if I had it to do over again with you, I would like to have seen you take care of you more so that you were an example for me to feel like it's okay to take care of myself. But I grew up feeling like I had to take care of everybody else first before I could take care of me. And I always had guilt about taking care of me. That was my daughter speaking. And I reflected back on that. And I grew up with that too. You know, it's like, you got to take care of everybody else. And now what I teach at this point, of course, is totally different. If you don't take care of you, you're of no use to anybody else. I don't mean that in an egocentric way. You know, I'm not talking about narcissistic behavior.
Right.
I'm talking about simply, you know, if you're healthy and you're fit, look at the example you are for your kids and your grandkids. Also, look at how much energy you're going to have to share with them versus being in a wheelchair or being sick or being tired out all the time, where you just don't have any energy to play with them or have fun with them or do activities with them. The opposite becomes true. You have the energy, the fitness level, the desire to do things with that, with your grandkids or your kids. Totally different experience than if you haven't taken care of yourself. So sacrificing yourself is not the answer. what the answer is to take care of you so you can take care of others.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And such, such an important message. There's so much to you and you're just so delightful too. So it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, you're easy to work with and communicate with and to, discuss these things with too, Andrea. It's just a delight with the conversation we're having.
Yeah, it is delightful. There's so much in your book. I mean, of course, we talked about a little bit about the breath and how important it is to master your breath.
Yeah.
Just breathing. And you also talk about water. How important water is. Now, can you drink too much water? And let's talk about water intake. And then, of course, there's a lot of water in our food, correct?
Yes, there is. I mean, if you're a person who eats a lot of fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, not talking about canned or, you know, dried, but fresh fruits and vegetables, you're getting a lot of water. And I mean, it's like I go into all of that, you know, as far as how much water is in what. But the point is that that's one source of water. Most people think coffee and tea, and I always say to people, don't count that as your water intake, because they're, especially if they're caffeinated, they're more dehydrating than they are hydrating. So it's better to, they're like a diuretic. So it's better instead to have water or things that are water-based like fruits and vegetables. We need, because our body is about 80% water now, that's what it should be. Most people are slightly dehydrated. It's not very significantly dehydrated in our culture because they don't drink enough water. So it's really about getting enough water in, and what is enough? Well, in our, you know, using the pounds and ounces scenario, which we have in the U.S., is basically drinking your body weight, half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 130 pounds, that would be 65 ounces of water. Now, if you're an athlete or you do a lot of strenuous activity in your work or you're a sports person, you'll need more water. But can you get too much water? Yes, we've seen people that have died from having way too much water in their body. They drink water instead of eating, for one thing. And a lot of people who suffer with eating disorders tend to do this. They'll drink a lot of water, and they're getting overly large amount of water into their body, but they don't have any food. So that's one problem. But the other is just too much water. You a balance. In life, everything is supposed to be a balance.
Now, you say you shouldn't count coffee or tea as
right.
water.
Okay. Unless it's herb tea.
That was going to ask you about herbal tea versus...
Yeah, herbal teas are fine. You, as long as they're not caffeinated herbal teas. So, you know, any of the basic herbal teas that have no caffeine, those could count as your water supply. If you're drinking green tea, I don't recommend counting that as your water, because green tea tends to have caffeine, and that's okay to get a little caffeine from green tea, because there's a lot of benefits to green tea that you don't get from other tea. So, you know, cancer fighting catechins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you also talk about detoxing, cleansing your body. Can we do that with water too?
We can do it with water. Absolutely. Water is a great detoxer. I mean, one of the recommendations I make is when people get up in the morning, and here's my beverage for the morning. This is like a 5-minute detoxification process that you can do every day. And that is to get up and take the juice of a half of a lemon or a full lemon. If it's half of a large lemon or one small lemon, squeeze that into a cup. A 12-ounce cup is great. And then heat water. Don't boil it. Heat it to hot. And then take fill the cup with the hot water. Add in about 1 tablespoon of pure maple syrup. And if you're watching your sugars, you can have a half a tablespoon. And then take cayenne pepper. All of these things work together synergistically to detox your system. Now, you can just take a cup of hot water, and it will do a really good detoxification job. Have that first thing in the morning. But with the added lemon and cayenne pepper, it really revs up the parasympathetic system. So you're having a good evacuation of everything that's being stored in your body.
And how much cayenne pepper do you put in that?
Well, you know, we recommend just a sprinkle to start and build up to about an eighth of a teaspoon. But most people, if they've never done this, they would not be able to take an eighth of a teaspoon right away. So it's like just sprinkle it on and get used to it over time. And then eventually you'll be able to take in an eighth of a teaspoon without a problem.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about supplements because, you know, a lot of people think they can get it all from supplements, but you also say that a living body needs living foods to be fully alive. So,
absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, when you buy a vitamin pill, vitamin and mineral pill or whatever, it may have, you know, anywhere from, say, 20 to 100 nutrients, depending on the particular particular supplement. But at most, it's 100, and most often it's far less than that. Maybe even only 5 nutrients are in a particular supplement. Now, take an apple. An apple has 10,000 different nutrients in it. If you take broccoli, there's over 12,500 nutrients in broccoli. Even in cauliflower, that white vegetable, there's 12,000 nutrients, different nutrients. So how do you take a vitamin pill that's predominantly made up of man-made chemical versions of a nutrient and compare that to a whole food like an apple or a peach or broccoli, cauliflower, you know, Brussels sprouts, etc.? You can't. There's no comparison. So if you can find, and nowadays we're seeing more and more whole food-based supplements available, and in some cases they're not even listed as supplements, they're listed as food. So if you can find something like that out there, then that would be what I would recommend using as your foundation. Is there a place for the other supplements? Yes. When I work with cancer patients, oftentimes their bodies are, their cells are not producing enough coenzyme Q10. So in order to rev up the metabolic systems in their body so that they can start to get well for a period of time, we may use some coenzyme Q10. Vitamin D, most people tend to have a lack of vitamin D. So that is something that we'll often recommend the person have, is some vitamin D. Not large amounts, but getting some of the vitamin D into their system. And the same is true with other nutrients. However, overall, if you can get it from food, that's your ideal way to get it. Now, people will say to me, what about juicing? That's concentrated. But here's the problem with juicing, unless it's whole food juicing in something like a blender, you know, that's a high-powered blender. If you're juicing, what you're doing is you're actually extracting the juice part out and separating it from the fibrous part. And what most people don't realize is that 25 to 35% of the nutrients in any whole food are in the fibrous part attached to it, that the part you're throwing out, or if you add it to something else, then that's okay. But when you're cooking it, they're gone. Now, so you're only getting the nutrients that are in the juice part. And I believe that the Creator has designed our food, whole food, so that all of the nutrients work synergistically together.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with my grandparents in Scotland. I'm a Scottish girl from a wee place called Buxton Mochty in Scotland. So I grew up for the first 6 years with my grandparents, who grew all their own produce. And so we would literally go out to the garden and pull the food for that meal right from the garden that day. And in the winter, if it was too cold, then they had hothouses. And they rotated, all the crops were rotated, so everything was organic. They rotated the crops every year so that, you know, it was over a 7 or 8 year cycle. I think it was a 7 year cycle. And then they had the two hothouses and they go between those every year as well. So that's what we ate. And they never took anything else. They lived on what they grew and they were healthy. They lived to 97 years of age, and neither of my grandparents in that wee village of Ostrovsky, neither of them died of any illness. They literally chose when they were leaving, and that's when they left.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
And they were healthy. Yeah.
They were healthy, and they just
They
left.
Were healthy, yeah. They were just, my granddad said he had lived long. I said, why are you leaving when you're healthy? And he said, oh, I've lived a long life, and it's time for somebody else to benefit from what I benefit from. So, you know, like he was, he was ready to go. And my grandmother, they had agreed that she was 10 years younger. They agreed that she would stay an additional 10 years. And then, you know, to make sure the family was okay. And that's what happened. I was with both of them when they passed away. And when my grandmother sent me to, or called me up and said, I need you to come, I was over there with her when she left and, you know, listened to all her stories. And then she just went to sleep and never woke up.
Wow.
It was wonderful. It was a great lesson for me. And I've talked to some of my nursing friends who have worked in, you know, in hospice or in different places where people, or just in, you know, old age homes where, I don't think we call them that anymore, senior citizen residences. and I don't want to be old age. I don't want to be in an old age home. I'll be in a senior citizen's residence. But anyway, the point is that, you know, I don't think I'll be in any of them, but, you know, whatever it is, if you're there, oftentimes you just choose. And that's what they said to me, my friends who are nurses. They said, yeah, I've watched many people just choose. They're ready to go, and they go.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
No major illness, no major fanfare. They just go to sleep and don't wake up.
Yeah.
You know, so now I wish it was like that for everyone. I mean, wouldn't that be a beautiful scenario?
Yeah, it would be beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, you have so much wisdom. You've experienced so much. What would you say is your, at this very moment, because I'm sure it changes from time to time, but at this very moment, what has been the greatest lesson for you?
Oh, wow. That is a loaded question. And it does change. You're right. It changes regularly. Right. It's changed every decade, basically. You know, I would say that the greatest lesson really was about, even back when I was going through the journey and still continue to feel, is what you're grateful for expands. You know, what you focus on, pardon me, expands. And if you're grateful for life and for each day, you'll get more of that to be grateful for. So watching your thoughts so that you are in that place of gratitude, even if it's just to thank God or the universe for the trees and the stars and the moon and the, you know, the rain. We're always thankful for rain in California when it comes. So, you know, but it's having gratitude for things. So, you know, what you're grateful for expands. And so be grateful. I mean, what you focus on expands. So be focused on gratitude. Be focused also on living a life of meaning for you, whatever that is. I mean, if meaning for you is sweeping the streets, then do it. If meaning for you is traveling around the world and interviewing people, which is what I'm about to embark on, asking what matters now, then do it. Just do it. You know, get out and do what you have a passion for, because passion is what keeps us alive and keeps us healthy. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of things about how passion is a negative thing. And, you know, when you're focused on your passion, you're not getting things done. But that's not what I've found to be true. I've found that when you're not passionate about anything, life has no meaning. But when you're passionate, even if it's to go and feed the hungry homeless people once a week, and that brings you joy, that's going to take you through another week of whatever's going on in your life, because you've done something that meant something to you. And it really is getting to the core of what kind of service can you be, and where can you dispense that service? You know, because service is really what humankind, I think, is about. It's about serving others, not at the expense of yourself, but serving others in a way that's meaningful for you and for them.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow, you're such a beautiful person, and I could talk to you all week. Because it's
well,
just
I could
so
do the same thing with you.
There's just so much wisdom, and your book is amazing. I mean, there are recipes. I mean, you know, suggestions on how people can fit more physical activity in their day. I mean, you talked about energy, the importance of exercises. You talked about being positive and not worrying, and the importance of journaling and meditation, and you know, eating right, drinking enough fluids. You know, all these things contribute to having more energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh yeah, and I mean it's, you know, truthfully too, it's only, does it, I think if people just understood that it only takes a few minutes. That was the hardest lesson even for me, because I grew up, you know, everything's hard, it's going to take a long time. And so to change that paradigm, to make a paradigm shift, to understand that, you know, if you spend 5 minutes doing something healthy, and you do that 5 times a day, you'll have more energy than by far than the average person out there, because we do have an energy deficit right now. We have an epidemic of energy deficit. Yeah. And so really, it's just, you know, 5 minutes, 5 times a day, instant energy guaranteed. It's a slogan that, you know, my associates and assistants and myself use every day, because it's a reminder that that's really all it takes. Now, if you can do more, great. But at least do that. You know, every little bit helps. Small changes make a big difference.
Right, right. That's beautiful. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Do you have anything to share that we haven't covered, and any closing reflections at all?
Well, one thing I would like to do, Andrea, if it's okay, is offer, I have an ebook that we put together of the top 10 tips that people have written in about and said they loved. So we've put that together in a book. I put it together in an ebook that is free for anybody if they go to 5minuteenergytips.com, and that's the number 5minuteenergytips with an F. .com, and that's available to them, and it's a way for them to get started with these tips that are easy, quick, and easy. And the most important thing, I think, from the standpoint of what would I want people to really walk away with or go away with, is just to really look at today as a new day. Every day, the past does not determine your present or your future, only today does. And so really let go of the past. It's done. You can't do anything about it. Yesterday is like a canceled check. Tomorrow is like a promissory note. But today is the present. It's your gift. It's a gift in your hand to utilize in a way that you could spend it wisely and have a meaningful day, because that will lead to many more meaningful days in the future.
Right. Beautiful. And for more information, people can go to DrMarilynJoyce.com, and is it Kick Cancer in the Can?
Yes, that's right.
I love that. Yeah.
Yes, Kick Cancer in the Can.
Well, you are absolutely wonderful, delightful, brilliant, and I can see why you are called the Vitality Doctor.
Well, thank you.
Wow. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for the work that you do to help others. You really are an inspiration, and people really should, you know, they should go and get the top 10 tips, but they should really get your book too, Instant Energy, 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality, because there's just so much in the book. We couldn't cover it all in this conversation.
Oh, no.
And there's so many tips, from how to set up your kitchen to, it's just recipes, everything that will make it easier. You've done the work pretty much, and, you make it easy for many, who need that extra help, to get that energy, to be healthy and to live a whole life.
Thank you so much, Andrea, because that was the purpose behind the book, was to create something, even if I was not here on the planet in the future, that people could refer to and it could change their lives. So thank you for that.
Well,
and thank you for this amazing opportunity to share it.
Yeah, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to talk about your beautiful work.
Thank you.
Okay, well, take care.
You too, Andrea. Thank you again. You're just a treasure and a treat to
you are.
I can't wait
to hear about your next book. You got to send it to me so we can do this again.
Absolutely. I will be happy to do that.
All right. Well, you take care.
You too. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
I would like to thank our guest, Dr. Marilyn Joyce, for being here to discuss her book, Instant Energy, The 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. For more information, visit www.drmarilynjoyce.com and www.kickcancerinthecan.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others, and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.